God, we put our trust in you. Father, we thank you that you are our firm foundation. God, we thank you that we can put all trust in you, Father, that we don't have to bear any burden on our own. God, that we don't actually have to bear any burden because you bore it on that cross. And God, we thank you that we can walk forward in victory no matter the situation, no matter what we're hearing around us, Father. No matter what people are telling us, Father, we can walk forward with our head high and know that we are walking in victory. Father, that we can stare any situation in the face and say, get behind me, Satan. And we can walk forward in your victory that only you can bring, God. So God, I pray that today as we gather together and as we just hang out for a little while, God, that we get an opportunity to bear each other's burdens, Father, and we get an opportunity to pray with each other, Father, and build each other up. God, we thank you for your love, for your encouragement, and your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. It's been an interesting week. It's been a challenging week. I've sat down many times to try to write a sermon and got as far as copy and paste of my previous, so I have my outline of for my, because I use slides like you guys get, so I know where I'm at in my points. And I just use the same format every week, and so I copy and pasted last week and deleted the title and just knew that it was the second one in this series of reaching out, but didn't know what I was going to speak about. We've had a lot of stuff on our plate in our house, especially the past few days, so it's been challenging. There's been challenges there, and I'm being straight up honest with you guys. I was praying and just asking for direction on where do we go with this series? Like, was I wrong in thinking of this process? What was going on? And asking God for some direction. And, you know, it was interesting because it wasn't until last night at about 7:30 that 8 o'clock that I actually had something to write down. And that's not me. I'm a planner. Yeah, I've come in a few evenings and tried to sit down and quiet and just, I had nothing. So it was a challenging week. And as I went through it, as I went through the preparation process, it was like, okay, where am I? Like, what is the purpose of this? What are we trying to do? And it was through that, asking those questions yesterday when I was on my rototiller all afternoon, that I started thinking, we want to talk about the gifts, and I want to encourage you about your gifts and to dig into your giftings and stuff. And it was through that idea that I started feeling in my heart that I'm just going to talk about each gift, and I'm going to give you an opportunity. We're just going to talk about it, and some weeks I'm going to talk about two, some weeks I'm going to talk about one, and this week we're going to talk about one. We're going to talk about where's your gift? And this week we're going to talk about apostle. And we're going to talk about things within the fivefold ministry. For those of you that don't know what that is, we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And then we're going to talk about all sorts of other gifts. But I think that this is, I believe in my heart that this is where we needed to go. Is because we talk about getting your gifts, do this in your gifts. But what do these gifts mean? How do we use them? How do we operate in them? And what does it look like? So I thought, today it might be, you might think, boy, this is a simple message. Would have taken no time to prepare. Don't think that. Believe me, there is a lot of time in working through this process and just understanding and trying to know where to go. Because anything we do, we want to ensure that we are walking where the Holy Spirit leads us and directs us to go as a church, right? So that's why I felt today was a bit challenging. But this new series, Reaching Out. Last week we talked about about things like giving, increasing, succeeding, and prospering. And the church, according to the New Testament, is to equip saints for the work of your ministry. So that's why we're here where we are today, about talking about apostles. And we talked about how everyone is a minister of the gospel. That we're all ministers of the gospel of Jesus. Although not all of us are up here, we're out there, we're serving in various capacities, serving each other, serving our community in different capacities, right? That's our role, that's our call. We're ministering through our servanthood. And we need people who are influential in business that are believers. We need believers who are strong in their faith, who are good at business. We need people who are good at their faith in the medical industry, in politics, in the music and in the arts. We need people in all areas to influence the world for Jesus. We can't just sit here and hide it within our church. We need to have great gifted Christian leaders everywhere. Because Jesus made a statement, and although this is a paraphrase of what he said, it's basically occupy until he comes back. Make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. If you're making disciples and you're multiplying in your disciple making, you are occupying, you are taking up ground. You're not just standing back waiting, but you are advancing the kingdom of God. We need to take ground for the kingdom. We can't be a church that sits back any longer. We need to minister in here and build each other up as we move out and minister to our community. That's our call as the church. So over the next while, when I go to Rider Games, they have summer concert series. We're going to have a summer series just talking about gifts. And as I said, we're going to talk about apostleship, and we're going to be talking about things like the fivefold ministry, like I said earlier, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. We're going to be talking about leadership. We're going to talk about administrators. We're going to be talking about those that are gifted with giving and mercy and helps and craftsmanship, intercession, hospitality, all these different gifts, exhortation, interpretation, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of healings, and some others. And I want this to be a season of growth and a season of looking deep inside of us this summer. I want us to really analyze who we are and what our makeup is and what new giftings we may have experienced. Because as we grow in Christ, as we spend time in His Word, as we get to know who He is and who we are in Him, our giftings change and our giftings grow, and we get new giftings as we go through different seasons of life. But it's all about our gifts and what we've been given from God and what we've been given to share with others. So I think that's really an exciting idea, I think, for me. Because it's exciting for me because I believe it should be exciting for all you guys. I think it's something that we need to all grow in more each day. Would you agree? So as I said a couple weeks ago when we first talked about this idea, we did a gift test a couple years ago, and a gift test is a really bad way to say it. I didn't grade you on your gift, but it just gave you an idea to help point you in the direction of where your giftings might lie. Because some people don't know, and some people, as their giftings change, they want to see maybe where things are changing, and it just points them into the direction where they know and that they can pray about. So we're going to be rolling those out in the next couple weeks, and just something for you to do on the side of your own time. And just see as we talk about these, and as you see the gifts, then you can be like, oh yeah, I understand where that is now. So it's just really an opportunity to help you guys as you walk together with us. Today we're going to read from Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. And I think it should be up there, Ella, I hope. And it says, but to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts to men and women. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and the edifying of itself in love. So when we start to understand and we start to operate and walk in our gifts and we realize where our giftings are, that's when we as a church really have this extra supercharge and we are able to engage in advancing the kingdom in Rosetown, where we can advance our kingdom here within the church and share love with each other and care for each other like we should be as the church, right? And it's up to us to understand where our gifts are. And it's up to us to identify based on His Word and the Holy Spirit speaking to us where our gifts are. We need to spend time in His Word to do this. We need to know where our gifts are in order to advance the kingdom of Rosetown. The kingdom of Jesus, not the kingdom of Rosetown Community Church. That's not what we're advancing. We're advancing the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. I think it's important. And the first one that I want to talk about, as I said, is apostles, apostleship. And apostleship is one of the five leadership gifts that we read about in Ephesians 4:11. It's one of the five-fold ministry that is part of the apostolic movement. And those that are called in this ministry are called to equip saints for the work of ministry. And we are called to advance that kingdom of God here. So what is an apostle? What is the role of an apostle? Apostles are given divine ability to take new ground by pioneering churches, by pioneering ministries, through planting and leading and overseeing and training leaders within the church. Apostles, when they feel a stir in their heart, they have no problem saying, "Pastor, Dave, come to me and say, Dave, this is what I feel in my heart. I feel this, and let's work together to build this ministry together so that you can advance the kingdom in your gifting as it is you've been given by God." And in addition to this, an apostle is focused on the culture of the church. Apostles in New Testament times, the Roman rulers would send Roman apostles to accompany their armies. And when an area was conquered, the Roman apostle would stay behind and help the city or the region come into an alignment with the Roman culture, right? This is what Roman apostles did. Now, Christian apostles are called to see the culture of their cities and their churches align with the culture of their king, right? And we want to see our cultures of Rosetown align with the kingdom of God. The culture of heaven, the things of heaven, the things that are in heaven that we talk about in our last series of bringing heaven to earth, to bring heaven here to Rosetown, to bring heaven where we go. That's the things that apostles bring, and they ensure that the culture of the community that they are in experience the things of God and the things that are ours already according to His Word. And their prayer is on earth as it is in heaven. Apostles in the church today are most effective when they spend time in the Word, when they spend time in prayer, seeking and hearing from God concerning things like pioneering churches, church growth, church expansion, new territory to be taken for the kingdom of God, when they're looking at new ministries, when there's new opportunities to spreading the gospel. That's where apostles want to be, and they want to gravitate to, and they want to move. All while making sure that these projects, these visions, these things that they have are in alignment and aligned with the culture of Christ's kingdom and the culture of His church where they are. It's not a matter of, well, we're in Rosetown and I just feel that we need to have a church that we all walk on our hands instead of on our feet and talk and communicate, and this is what I feel. It's not, that doesn't align with the kingdom of God. And I'm just being silly because only a couple of us can walk around in our hands all day, right, Gary? Can you walk around in your hands all day? No, so it'd be tough to join that culture. But we need to align to the culture of God's church and the church that you're plugged into. See, the 12 apostles in the early church, this is another thing that people think of apostles, and I want to stomp that craziness out, is people today think that apostles have this right to write new scripture and to write new pieces that the church should be following. See, the 12 apostles in the early church who physically saw Jesus were called uniquely by Jesus to spread the word and plant the first century church wherever they went. Apostles today don't have that same kind of authority. They're not called, nor are they qualified to write scripture like the original apostles. And this is important. This is how we avoid things like cults. This is how we avoid things like crazy doctrines. And this is how we avoid unrest within the church. The apostles that Jesus appointed had the spiritual authority to write the eyewitness accounts and letters and stories of what they saw from Jesus do and the things that they saw Jesus do and said that we call now the New Testament. Apostles today don't have that authority. See, modern apostles have a spirit-led calling to reach out in places where others haven't gone, are fearful to go, won't go. That's where apostles are called. They have a tremendous ability to influence others to follow and to lead. They have this ability to drive to cross-cultural places, to geographical areas where others won't go, to cross economic boundaries for Christ. But the thing is we all are not called in that method, that way. We're not all called to cross cultural and economic lines. We're not all called there. Now, I know a lot of us would like to think we should be all out there feeding the poor, doing this. And some of us have the gift of financing the feeding of the poor. Okay? That's where some of us are called to do. And we talked last week about prospering and going out and serving the least of these. That's how we serve the least of these. We all aren't called to go out onto, I don't know, Central Avenue in Prince Albert or, you know, the roughest part of Saskatoon, the lighthouse or whatever that, I can't remember the name of that place. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? What's that? The lighthouse. We're not all called to go into the lighthouse. We might not all be passionate about jumping into ministry there, but we should all have love and compassion for those that are there. Do you know what I'm saying? We all should care about those that are there. Now, we all might not feel the call, the pull to jump in and to minister there, but we all can finance that work. We can serve in other ways, in other capacities. We can teach those that are going there. Do you see what I'm saying? And apostles are called to go into places like that, and it's important for us to know, and it's important for us not to judge those that are not called to go into those areas as well. It's critical. We're called to love. We're not all called to go to those spots. Otherwise, it's just going to be a confusing mess when we've got 150 people that are trying to serve 200 people. Because how do you lead? Who do you go to if we're all running around doing our own thing? I've lost my train of thought. But this is why not everyone necessarily feels called and pulled into those areas. We're not all called and pulled to go be apostles in the north of Canada. But we have opportunities to fund it. We have opportunities to serve in other capacities. And I think it's important to realize. We're called to love them, but not called necessarily to minister in those areas by hands. We're called to fund the church so that the church can go do the work of ministry in those different areas, so that those within the church that are called to the apostleship ministry can go there and are funded to go there. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope so. I've seen far too many places have heart issues internally and have issues with each other because they expect that everybody should be called to Central Avenue in Prince Albert when not everybody's called there. And we need to realize that everybody's giftings are in different places. Some of our giftings are called to finance. Some of us are called to find. It's important that we remember that we're all called to fund the church so that we can do these various works. So, apostles look at the culture of heaven and work to see that culture is that culture is demonstrated here on earth today, wherever we go. The apostles' purpose is to train and empower other believers to see God at work through the many people there. I think it's so critical that we understand the role of the apostle. I think it's so critical because some of us are apostles and some of us are those other giftings that we had talked about. Some of us have multiple giftings. Some of us are called to be the apostle, the pastor, the evangelist, and aren't called in other areas. It all depends on where your gifting is at that point. As the apostle, we'll be able to do significant work in unreached areas, though, and we will want to advance the kingdom there. So as I said, as we go through these spiritual gift tests again, and as we do them, and as you discover that maybe, hey, I think I'm an apostle. This is where I think my gifting lies. And I'm not going to ask you, but maybe as we just talked today about some of the things that the apostle does, maybe you're like, yeah, that's where I feel my heart really is stirred in it, right? And then these are the things that you might want to lean into if this is what you're feeling. You might want to lean into building something meaningful. Maybe you want to lean into being a Christ-centered culture champion here in this church, about bringing the culture of Christ wherever you go, whether you're in the grocery store, whether you're at the gas station, whether you're at the tire shop, but you're bringing this Christ-centered culture wherever you go. It's like when, I don't remember the guy's name that brings the Stanley Cup around with the Stanley Cup winners. Have you ever seen these stories? They have this big crate and they pull it around wherever the guy that won the Stanley Cup, they each get a day with the cup. And they bring it out and they take it. And everybody wants to be with the Stanley Cup champion experience. They want to have their chance to hold the cup or kiss the cup or drink grape juice out of the cup. They all want the chance. And the same way we can bring the culture of Jesus wherever we go. And everybody wants the chance to drink up the Jesus that's with you. To drink up the Holy Spirit that you've brought into the room. The culture that you have brought. People are going to want to walk with you and experience that kingdom champion life that you've brought with you. See, as believers in Jesus, we are not defeated. We are champions, are we not? And not everybody's called to be an apostle, but we're all called to be champions for Jesus. And as apostles, it's our job to lead that mindset wherever we go. Wherever we go. We need to lean into things like thinking about healthy expansion and then focusing and working on it. About being clear and providing a compelling vision. Being able to articulate, if this is you, to articulate to me in a way that I understand so that we can work together to support this mission and vision that God has given you. It's up to us to work together. It's not up to you to be a lone ranger. Because lone rangers get oftentimes hurt. But when we work together as the church, boy, can we be effective. Lone rangers get tired. But as the church, man, we can cover ground, can't we? As a group, we have a lot more opportunities to touch more people's lives. Apostles need to lean into providing this clear and compelling vision. And while they do that, and as they start to lead this vision and mission that they're working together with their church on, they need to empower and develop others to be able to do that. And so that's something that, for me, I don't know if you know this, I think I've told you this, but I'm a bit of a control nut. I'm a bit of a control freak. Terry tells me every time she sees me. But I'm a bit of, this is my baggage that I've slowly been learning to drop. And I think I've done a really good job of dropping it. Because before I wouldn't have been able to say this. But we need to empower and we need to develop others. We need to develop each other. Those that are called into the same ministry line and ministry stream as we are. We need to think, now this is going to be weird when I say this for an apostle, but we need to think entrepreneurially. We need to fund this somehow. We need to fund this work. Do we not? We need supernatural, entrepreneurial vision and wisdom if we're going to be advancing the kingdom into these other areas. Right? We need to think pioneering. This is one of my sad things for me as this province has kind of dwindled away from the smaller centers and into the cities. It's back in the day, pastors used to throw their guitar over their shoulder and they would walk down the railroad tracks from here to Wyston or here to Bigger, I don't know where the railroad tracks went, from here to Fisk, just to have church with 20, 30 people, and then they'd walk back and it'd be the middle of winter. They'd hop on a rail car and throw their guitar and hopefully they got in the same box. And they'd ride from town to town and they'd just minister. And I think we've gotten so self-centered and self-focused that we forget that. And as apostles, we need to be pioneering in that method. We need to be wanting to pioneer works, whether it be here in our own church, pioneering missions, pioneering ministries here within our church, out in other communities. We need to want to do that. We need to be driven to do that as believers, but in primary as apostles, if you're an apostle. And then on top of that, there are things that we need to stay away from if you're an apostle. And this first one goes a lot with my being a bit of a control freak in the past, not anymore. In the past. But don't be overreaching. We're not all called to apostleship. We're not all called to certain areas in our apostleship. Do you know what I'm saying by that? If you're called to urban ministries and you think that our church should be doing that, and we talk about it and we talk and we say, yeah, this is something we want to do, and we're in urban ministries, and all of a sudden we like, yeah, let's own a hockey team and let's do that and let's send the Harlem Globetrotters, let's send a hockey team of superstars around because that aligns with our ministry. No, that's overreaching. Let's not press and overextend ourselves. Let's focus on the things that God has called us to do. Don't overreach and don't micromanage. Don't expect everyone to feel the same as you do as well. Don't expect everyone to feel the same pull to minister in certain groups. Don't expect everyone to want to go to one of the reserves by North Battleford and minister there. Don't expect everybody to have that desire. But they should love those people still. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, but some of our job is to fund that. Some of our job is to go do the work. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is that clear? We don't all have to go do the work, is what I'm saying. We're not all going to feel the same pull to certain groups. The next one we want to stay away from is having tunnel vision. As an apostle, you're one piece of the puzzle of this church. You're one piece of the body. I can't expect, as I said earlier, with Gary walking around on his hands, I can't expect my hand to be my foot, right? I can't just expect my hand to do all the work that my foot's supposed to be doing. I can't just have tunnel vision on my hand doing that. But we have to experience and understand that each hand, our left hand is made for writing, and our right hand is made for whatever right hands do. I don't know. But, right, our left hands are made for writing. And our feet are for walking, right? We'd look pretty funny if we're walking with our left, or I guess walking with our right hand, because you have to write with your left. Walking with your right hand and walking with your left foot, it doesn't do that. Each part of the body, is what I'm trying to say, has a purpose. Each part of the body has a role. And we need to understand that. The next thing that we need to avoid, if you're an apostle, is becoming rogue in your interaction with other believers. We can't be rogue believers. We can't be rogue apostles. We can't be rogue, you know, whatever. We can't be a rogue body member. Now I know what the right hand is for. It's for punching, right? So you can't just roguely and not pay attention. You've got to pay attention to everything that is happening. The body needs to be aligned and functioning the way we're supposed to function. And our hands are supposed to be doing what the hands are supposed to be doing. Our fingers are supposed to be doing what the fingers are supposed to be doing. Our feet are supposed to be doing what the feet are supposed to be doing. Our butts are supposed to be doing whatever our butts are supposed to be doing. Our heads, you get what I'm saying? We can't be rogue in our interaction. You can't be doing that. Hands, do your thing. Right? This is what I'm saying. I want us all to be functioning at full capacity. And I'm going to invite Mary up, sorry. I'm almost done. I said that this is, we're going to talk about one or two of these each week. If you're an apostle, do not choose plans over people. Do not choose plans over people. Boy, let me say that again. Do not choose plans over people. Because it's so easy to choose plans over people. We have to be intentional in choosing people. It's important to be choosing people. If we choose plans over people, we just become about the plan and we miss the things that are going on around us. We miss the interactions we have opportunities for around us. We miss opportunities to minister and work together with the parts of the body that are around us. Right? It's like walking with your eyes closed. Eventually, you're going to hit a wall. Eventually, you're going to trip over a stick. See, Christ created us all different. God created us all differently. And when Christ died on the cross and left, and he made us all with these unique gifts here on earth, and left us with all these unique giftings here on earth, man, if we run around with our eyes closed, we're going to miss so much. We have opportunities to serve and work together. And I know this is a different message and different thing than we've normally done, but believe me, this is important for us all to hear. Because maybe Ella's an apostle. And Ella gets a little rogue in her way of doing apostleship. Maybe she starts shutting her eyes and starts knocking stuff over. And you are like, what is Ella's problem? You know what? That's it. Had enough. I'm shutting her down. Or maybe worse, you're like, that's it. I'm out of here. This church is full of crazies. Or maybe you're like, you know what? Somebody's got to stop that person. And rather than understanding what the apostle might be dealing with, maybe rather than understanding what the apostle might be going through, maybe we just need to understand how to correct the apostle in our own self by understanding who the apostle is. And the same holds true as we go through these other gifts. That's why I want to do this, as well as beyond helping you understand your gifts, helping you understand others' gifts. I think this is critical. I wish we would have done this when I was little, because it would have saved me a lot of, or little, you know what I mean. I was never little. When I was younger, I wish I would have had this, because, you know, I've gone through all these trainings, and when you go through training and you hear stuff like this, and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. And I think as a church, as we want to grow and as we want to advance the kingdom, as we want to, spread our wings and fly. I don't know what the right word is. But as we want to do things together for the kingdom, isn't it better to understand each other? I think so. And so that's really the purpose of this whole series, summer series, is to understand what Scripture says, and then how does it apply to us today? That's what a message is anyways. It's just this is a little different than what we've been talking about. But yet it still aligns. See, I think the biggest thing, these other things that I said to stay away from are important, but the biggest thing that we need to stay away from, I think there's even a game called this, personal preference. Have anybody ever heard of the game Personal Preference? I think there's a game Personal Preference. If not, I'm crazy and don't worry about it. There's a game, personal preference. We need to stay away from personal preference rather than kingdom culture. Because in the end, kingdom culture, what the word says is true about the kingdom of God. What the word says is true about what we have and can experience. What the word says is true about how we can live is what is true. And it doesn't matter a hill of beans what our personal preference is. I think I shared this a few weeks ago, right? It doesn't matter what I say or what Stuart Smalley says or whatever some of these authors' names are. Stuart Smalley's not even an author. He was on Saturday Night Live, but it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter what he thinks. What matters is what the Word of God says is true, isn't it? And in the end, that's what matters. And we can't build on personal preference. We need to build on the kingdom of God. We need to build on advancing the kingdom. We need to build on the truth. And that's true for all giftings, but especially true for the apostles as they're going out and almost leading the charge, a bit like evangelists. They're a little different, and we'll see that in a few weeks, but very similar. And if you feel that you're an apostle, I'd love to talk to you. If you feel that you move in the apostleship gifts, I'd love to talk. If you want to wait till after you do your survey just to say, yeah, you know what, this is what it says, fine. But I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to hear. I'd love to pray with you as you feel God leading you through the different ministry opportunities that you can be doing, or that as we start talking about things that we can do as a church, I'd love to talk to you. I think that's the only way we can advance the kingdom together, is by open, honest dialogue about this. About open and honest dialogue about the kingdom of God. Amen? I hope I didn't throw too many things at you about facts and we didn't dip into scripture enough, but I really pray that as we walk through this and as we journey through this, that things in our lives will become clear within the church, that things in our lives will become clear as we minister, and that things in our life will be clearer as we journey together towards this position of strength as a church, okay? That's what I pray. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want us to grow together. So we're gonna invite you. I'm going to ask you actually to stand, and we're going to close in prayer. Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you for those that are in this body right now, in this church right now, that are apostles. Father, we thank you for those that are our leaders. We thank you those that are gifted with finances. We thank you those, God, that are gifted as pastor, as teacher, as evangelist, as prophets. God, we thank you for each gift that resides right here in this church. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for those people. And God, we thank you that as we talk about this, as we discuss it, as we have dialogue, that we would grow and we would start moving and stepping forward in the giftings that you've given us. That we would be willing to be bold about the gifts that you've given us, God. Not arrogant, God, but bold. And God, we thank you for the boldness that you have given us. We thank you for the boldness that you're going to continue to pour into us. And we thank you for unity together so that we can grow together in whatever gifting you might give us. Father, we pray that you will bless us all. Father, give us an amazing week, and we thank you already actually for that amazing week you're going to give us this week. God, I thank you for opportunities that we can gather together in smaller groups for coffee or whatever that looks like, God. I thank you for that. I thank you that we can share time together and grow together. Father, I pray that we would reach out to our community in new ways, and I pray that we would step into those roles that we've been called into. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. Have a great week.